Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Tome of Daniel Blake. I'm Griff Garrison. I hope your holidays were great. I know mine were. I really enjoyed this new entry, but I already don't like the woods. This made me not want to go to the woods even more. Without any other ado, let's get into it. A week and a half ago, a man came into the office. Jonathan Erickson, the ranger of Blue Peak Forest, just a short drive out of the city. Apparently, he read about Bleak Haven Oddity Observation from the Skeptic, and decided to reach out to us about his problem. "What's the nature of the anomaly?" I asked. Rainey sat on the corner of my desk to take notes as he spoke. "Missing people, Mr. Blake. The past few years, several people have gone missing in the woods over the course of winter."
"Wouldn't that be expected?" Rainey chimed in. "Not that it isn't sad, I mean, just the woods can be a dangerous place, especially this time of year."
"I'm well aware of the dangers in the woods, Miss Storm," the ranger said thoughtfully. "Normally I would agree, but I've seen something. That something, well, it's the reason that I'm here." He looked back at me. "I saw it just last February. I put it out of my mind, but now that winter has taken hold, I can't anymore."
"What exactly did you see, Mr. Erickson?" I asked with interest. "If I knew, I likely wouldn't be in your office," he pondered.
"If I told anyone else, they'd call me a loon."
"Can you describe it?" I pressed a little impatiently.
"I haven't seen it all that clearly." The man paused. It was a large shadow or figure of some sort. It towered along the tree line as I was going back to my cabin. What happened next? I felt it look at me for a moment. Then the tree seemed to swallow it up. And that's it. I felt its presence more than anything, Mr. Blake.
"All right," Rainey said, putting down her notes. "Why do you think this thing is responsible for the missing people?"
"Well, miss, decades ago, my grandfather came over from Europe." The young ranger brought his hand to his chin. "He was a trapper. I spent a lot of time in the wild places with him. He said, 'You always respect the land no matter what. If you don't, something bad may happen. Perhaps worse than death.'"
"And your grandfather was referring to this creature?" I scrutinized.
"There are many things he taught me about the woods. Dangers both natural and supernatural. I believed him when I was a kid, but I grew out of those stories. They were just ways of helping me fear the wild like I should, but seeing that thing now, I don't know." I leaned forward.
"What did he say about this specific creature?"
"There are so many creatures, Mr. Blake. Some of them take people deep into the woods. My vague sighting doesn't help much, but I can't get it off my mind." I pondered this for a moment.
"You believe this creature is taking these people?"
"Maybe," he said. "Winter is setting in, and 3 people were lost last year, 5 the year before, and 2 my first year as a ranger." He looked up at Rainey, then looked back at me. "I have to at least try to stop it if I can." With that, we agreed to look into the woods. Honestly, I had no idea what we were getting into. Scandinavian and Slavic folklore had no shortage of strange creatures. I read of a holder, a seductive forest spirit, the mischievous Nis, and countless varieties of trolls and goblins. However, I didn't have enough information to really know what I was looking for. Early the next day, Rainey and I got into the Oldsmobile and followed the ranger back to his cabin in the woods. Not much happened the rest of the day. We searched the area he had seen the creature. No signs of anything much, just some common animal tracks in the snow. He provided us with some decent enough winter gear and led us into the woods. I'm unsure of how far he trekked through the hills. There wasn't enough snow on the ground to really cause us any impediment. Just a light dusting. That is, until it started to snow once again. "We should start heading back," our guide advised us as the light from above the winter cloud started to dim. "We can look again in the morning if it doesn't snow too much tonight." We started back the way we came, but we didn't make it back that night. The darkness and bitter wind claimed us. I slipped in the snow.
Rainy, wait!
I cried out to my companion. She turned back to see me trying to scramble to my feet. The foolish woman came up to help me.
Are you okay?
She yelled over the howling wind.
I think so,
I said as I got my bearings. With shock, I realized the light from our guide's lantern was dimming through the wood.
Erickson! I screamed at him.
We rushed through the thickening snow toward the light and yelled at our only hope out of those woods. Our voices were against the wind, and the light soon faded into darkness. We traveled in the direction we last saw Erickson. Over the next few hours, we tried to find something to keep the snow and wind at bay. We were exhausted and half frozen when we smelt what we thought would be our salvation. Smoke. We followed the smell until it arrived at a shack hidden among the trees. We saw the fire lighted up from the inside. I damn near knocked it over with my fervorous blows as I called out to any occupants. I saw eyes peek through the cracks. Then the door opened.
Get in quick,
a strange voice said, and we did so. The warmth of the fire was welcome. Thank you, I said to our new host as we settled in. Dark old eyes looked at me as the man nodded. Soon he gave us some hot stew and we sat around the fire. Much of the hut was not illuminated by the small fire, and it stunk. I assumed it to be the old man living there, cut off and alone. He didn't say much. He just looked vacantly into the fire as he rubbed his leathery hands together. I noted his little and ring finger on the left hand were missing at the first knuckle. Randy looked at me with concern. I agreed with her, but there was nothing else we could have done. I'm Daniel Blake, I turned from Rainy and looked at the old man. My assistant and I are here from Bleak Haven. The ranger of these woods asked us to investigate something.
What are you looking for?
He asked without looking at me. Some creature, I said, trying to quell the knot in the pit of my stomach. The ranger said he saw something strange for the woods. He believed it'd be taking people wandering the forest. He flashed a quick smirk. Have you ever seen anything like it? I asked.
I don't know,
he said, still looking at the fire.
Maybe you can ask old Jed.
Who's old Jed? Rainy said, not hiding her fear very well. He looked at her and lingered.
He'll be along sooner or later.
He produced some animal skins for us to sleep on. Despite the unease of the situation, exhaustion soon took us, and we got through the night. When I awoke, however, I discovered that we were presented with a new predicament. In our sleep, this man of the woods shackled us to anchor points in the floor near where we slept. He was nowhere to be seen, and Rainy still out cold. I did my best to take in surroundings through a pounding headache. In the morning light, I could see how humble the shack was. It didn't look like it was able to stand, let alone house someone. It seemed as though this man had a habit of keeping bones of, I assumed, animals in the corner. He also didn't take proper care of the tools on his walls. Rust covered the animal traps, hammers, saws, and other instruments hung there. Now that I could see it, I realized what I was smelling had been death muted by cold and the smoke.
Rainy!
I whispered and started to shake her awake. She breathed in sharply and began to open her eyes. She rubbed her head as she sat up. Then she noticed the chains around her wrists. She pulled on them hard.
What the hell?
It seems our host intends to keep us around longer than we intended, I said as calmly as I could. Anger filled her eyes.
Come on then, she said quietly with intensity. There must be a way to get loose. These chains look weak enough.
We searched the shack for a key or something to break the chains. We discovered the still to his fire kit. It didn't particularly look like it could have broken the old chains, but it was a start. I reached out for it. It was just too far from the anchor point. I looked back at Rainy. She turned the other direction, then sprawled out to grab one of the bones. She could only reach what looked like a small rib. She slid it across the floor to me. I took the bone and reached out again. The rib touched the metal. It pressed down and tried to pull it back, but it didn't hook. I tried again. "Daniel," my companion said softly. I glanced back to see the man standing at the door holding two dead rabbits. His cold, dark eyes looked at me for what seemed to be an eternity. I sat up as he started to approach silently. "What do you think you're doing here?" I asked as he walked in. He kicked a small piece of metal away from me. He began to sit on the floor in the middle of the room. "What do you want with us?" He sat cross-legged, producing his knife. A slight smile flashed on his face.
"Old Jed will be along soon enough,"
was all he said as he began skinning the small beasts.
"Let us out now," shouted my companion. "Or I swear..."
"It'll go faster if you pipe down, woman,"
the old man said, looking at her.
"But if you keep talking, then I can find a way to shut you up."
I could feel the blood rush from my face. "Touch her and I'll skin you like one of those rabbits." The man laughed, showing his few remaining teeth.
"Jed don't like it when I touch."
He looked back to his work and mumbled,
"He always takes something."
Rainey and I watched as he skinned and separated the animals. The man didn't feed us till that evening. All we got was a small bowl of strange-tasting stew. He prepared the ingredients outside of the shack. Of course we ate it. What else could we do? Upon inspection, I determined there was the meat from the rabbits as well as some mushrooms and herbs. Other than that, I can't say what we ingested. The smell was off. It was like meat that just was about to turn. The taste was more bitter than I anticipated. It was incredibly unsatisfying, even at the brink of starvation, and was never enough to fill our bellies. The days after this melded together in my memory. We were weary from fatigue and hunger. I felt myself slipping away from my rational mind more than once.
"If you're going to do something to us, then do it!"
I remember Rennie's voice shrinking at the man. He was just sitting there on the other side of the room from us. It was just getting dark. I could see the last lights of day glimmer off his dead eyes. He looked coldly at us for a long moment before speaking.
"Already doing it, girlie."
"What exactly is it?" I shouted, pulling on my chain. "We've been here for days. What's your plan with us?" Again, the cold stare pierced us as he just sat there.
"Waiting for Jed.
When in the hell is he getting here? I'd rather take him than you at this point," my companion said.
The man stood.
"I'm not so sure you mean that, seeing how good I've been to you."
"You locked us here," I tried to calm myself. "With no explanation or demands, just mention of Jed. You don't even know who we are." The man smirked, pulling out his knife again.
"Yeah, I already forgot your names."
He pulled one of the bones from the pile and sat back down, his blade pressing into the yellow bone.
"I'd try not to remember any of them."
"What do you owe this Jed?" I asked as calmly as I could. The man was stripping away layers of bone. I got no answer.
"He asked you a question, old man!"
Rainey yelled again. He glared at her.
"This is his land. I need you to pay my debts."
He looked back down at his work and mumbled,
"He always makes sure I do."
He didn't spend too much time with us after that. Rainey and I devised plan after plan to escape, but nothing panned out. We were trapped there, and every moment made that reality excruciatingly clear. As you can tell, it didn't go on forever. The night it ended, the wind was howling. The man gave us another bowl of that foul stew. Soon after that, Rainey fell into a deep sleep. Then before I knew it, I was out as well. But it didn't last long. I was jolted awake by a hard cracking sound and a sharp pressure in my left leg. Nothing sobers one like pain. My screams pierced the woods. It was enough to startle Rainey from her slumber. My vision was blurred, but by the firelight, I saw the man standing above me. My blood was cold and my breath was shallow. The man was holding a rather large hammer. I looked down to my leg. It had been propped up on a piece of firewood, and now unnaturally twisted. Shock overtook me.
Jed'll be here tonight,
the man said as I was trying to slow my breathing. He began walking toward Rainey with the hammer. She was panicking. I realized now whatever he put in that stew hadn't worn off yet. She was dazed in a living nightmare. He had walked between me and Rainey. I assume he thought I was gone with the shock. But adrenaline numbed the pain and focused my mind. As he was preparing Rainey's leg, I dragged myself over to him as fast as I could and grabbed his own leg. Before he had time to react, I bit into it as hard as I could. The old man kicked me off and fell to the ground. The metallic taste of blood filled my mouth. I spat it out along with any lingering torn flesh. Rainey's mind began to clear up more. I grabbed the hammer and with all the strength I could muster, I broke her rusted chain. It took a few strikes, but she was finally free. Run! Was all I could get out as she staggered to her feet. The man tried to get her, but I brought the hammer down on his arm. I'm not sure if it was broken or not. I remember struggling with him for a while, but I'm not sure how long. I remember his rough hands collapsed around my thinning neck. I could see the cold hatred in those dark eyes. I twisted myself to try to find the hammer again, but it was gone. However, in the commotion, he must have knocked the bone he was whittling across the floor. It was just within reach. I grabbed it and brought it to his side. The point pierced the skin as he cried out and shuffled away from me. He kicked me hard in the shoulder as he made for the door. He was going after Rainey. There wasn't anything I could do after he passed the threshold. I tried to slow my breathing when I heard another scream. It wasn't Rainey. The man continued his pained screams as Rainey came back into the shack. She rushed to my side and quickly fashioned a splint with the old bones. What about the man? Don't worry about him. Let's just get out of here. I could hear him whimpering over the wind a ways away from the shack. When she was finally done, she helped me up and to the door. I realized that my shackles were already undone by the man before he broke my leg. We had made sure to put all of our winter gear back on, but the cold wind still pierced us. As we left the shack, we saw it was a clear night and the landscape was bathed in moonlight. About 20 yards away was the man laying on the ground, struggling with a bear trap latched around his now broken leg. When he saw us, he began screaming profanities at us. I couldn't hear him over the wind. He tried clawing himself towards us until the only sound any of us could hear was his movement. The wind had died in a sudden moment. Rainey and I also stopped in our tracks. I've never heard the forest that quiet before. Then from the nearby trees, a figure appeared. As the ranger had said, its gait was too large for a man and too odd for an animal. It moved effortlessly through the snow on all fours, barely leaving any marks. I thought it was a tall, thin bear at first, but as it came nearer, its features were brought into the light. Some of its bones were protruding from the flesh, including its vertebrae. However, most prominently, its skull was visible. It looked like that of a deer, including the antlers, but with fanged carnivorous teeth. It had reddish-brown fur and a bushy tail like that of a fox. It approached the man.
Jed, they're ready,
he pointed at us.
They're ready to go. Take 'em.
The creature rose to its hind legs. It looked at us with empty eye sockets. Rainey and I were frozen. And then Jed looked back down to the bleeding and broken man, and it reached out for him with a clawed hand paw thing and latched onto him.
No! They're right there! We had a deal, you bastard!
Jed paid no attention to the man as it dragged him into the woods, taking its final due. Rainey and I started moving through the moonlit woods, leaving the man's screams to fade away as the wind picked up again. I felt maybe we should stay the night, but there was no way she was going to stay another minute in that shack. It took near until noon the next day, but we finally made it back to Erickson's cabin. As you can imagine, he was astonished to see us. He had thought the woods claimed us the night and we went missing. That sounds like one of the stories my grandfather told me, he said when I had described Jed. He called it a leshy. It owns the forest and is known for bargains and wagers. Well, it seems to own Blue Peak, Mr. Erickson, Be mindful of it, I warned him, even though Rainey protested that it was more likely a manged bear. In any case, Erickson said he'd go out there with some authorities to try and find the shack and the man, and he'd make sure the state sends payment. I wasn't about to hold my breath on that front. Soon enough, I got my leg set properly by Dr. Baring back in Bleakhaven, and we were sent home with different medicines to help us get back to normal. Rainey convinced me to do some healing up at her brother's place in some rural setting. Not the woods, mind you. And I took her up on the offer. He's not thrilled I'm here, but I try to keep to myself. I brought my mail with me from the office, and it seems some old bookshop has sent me something to look at. I've only taken a glance at it so far, but it will give me something else to do as I heal. As far as this encounter goes, Rainey and I have no plans to return to Blue Peak Forest. I suppose if one finds himself in the company of old Jed, he'd better be careful about the bargain he strikes. Daniel Blake.
Oh, this is why I'm glad those woods got paved over. What a crazy, weird episode. Very Cabin in the Woods-esque, you know, like, what was that thing? Was it a bear? I don't know. It was crazy. I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed it. It was very cool. In other news, Scott Goodman from Truth Watch reached out. He wants me to do an interview on his show. I mean, I really haven't seen much about it, but I'm pretty intrigued, so look out for that. I think that's all we got for you on this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for listening to The Tome of Daniel Blake.